Okay, let's begin our discussion of Beitza Yerushalmi Daf Mem Beis, and we are in the last section of the fourth parak of Maseches Beitza, the fourth out of five prakim, all in Yane Yantif and the like. And the last discussion that we were just having, we didn't get to talk about it, but now we'll mention it, and that is the sugya of Breira. What's the? We had this exact Gemara earlier in the Masechta. But now let's read the last couple of lines that we read, and then we'll get to the next part. Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim, two different stiras. So our Mishnah here said, the last Mishnah here on the fourth parak, that according to Rebbe Eliezer, a person could stand next to his mukse. What's his mukse? So according to most Befarshim, that means I'm drying out certain types of fruits before Yantif, and now they're semi-ready, but they're not fully ready. So if I designate them beforehand, so then that's going to be good enough. But how specific does the designation have to be? So Rebbe Eliezer says you can stand on the milk set on Erev Shabbos during Shemitah. Why during Shemitah? So that detail is there just to tell us that there's no issue of Chumas and Maisras here. It's Shemitah, so there's no chiyuv of Chumas and Maisras. Everything is Hefker. So the only issue here is going to be a Muksa issue. It's not going to be a Tevel issue. So a person before Shabbos could go and say, V'omer mikana ni'ochal v'achar. From these fruit, I'm eating tomorrow. You don't have to be any more specific. You don't have to say exactly which ones, but that's Rebbe Eliezer. A person could stand and say, Mikan, from here, I'm eating Lamachar. And the Chachamim say, no, you have to be more specific. The Chachamim say, Ashe Yershom, you have to mark off and say, I'm eating from this area. Mikan Varkan. So that was the 2 days in the, Gemara, which seems like, in the Mishnah, we see Rebbe Eliezer is more flexible. Rebbe Eliezer says, you don't even have to be so specific. So Rebbe Eliezer seems to hold the sugya of yesh breira, right? Yesh breira means that when I'm allowed to see the roots of the future separation and clarification already in the past. So when Rebbe Eliezer says, I'm going to be eat from here, I can already decide, not decide, but like later on when the fruit are picked, I could say, oh, he already designated those even right now. That's Rebbe Eliezer, yesh breira. And the Chachamim say, no, you have to be more specific. Sounds like Ein Breira. We don't say that a future clarification, the roots of it are already seed in the past. Ein Breira. So we'll talk about that more. Let's just do the Gemara. So the Gemara now quotes a double stira. A stira in Rebbe Eliezer and a stira in the Chachamim. The Rebbe Eliezer stira is more straightforward, and seems to be everybody similar has the same, shot. Let's read it again. Oh, the Rebbe Eliezer. So what does it seem like from our Mishnah that Rebbe Eliezer holds of? Yesh Breira, meaning you don't have to be so specific. You just go, from here, I'm going to eat, and Yesh Breira. So the Gemara says, Michlef Hashitasi, Rebbe Eliezer seems to be against, Rebbe Eliezer seems to be Soser himself. Why? And this is not going to be an explicit stira, but we're assuming that Rebbe Eliezer is the Talmud of Beis Shammai, the Tanina Taman, because we learned earlier, Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says, remember the earlier in the Masechta of the chicken coops, I want to designate a chicken, a bird that I'm going to shech the next morning. So what do I have to do before Yantif in order to designate it so it's not muksa? So Beis Shammai Omrim lo yitol ela imke nia nia mi bod yom. Beis Shammai says you have to go and actually shake it. You have to pick one up. Pick one up on Erev Yantif. And that's what you need. So why would you have to do that? So why would Beis Shammai, require that it must be, or Beis Shammai holds Ein Breira. You don't say that a future clarification can be, the roots of that can be seed in the past. So that's Beis Hillel Shita. But one second. So that's Beis Shammai Shita. Isn't Rebbe Eliezer a Talmud of Beis Shammai? Rebbe Eliezer lav shemutehu? Isn't Rebbe Eliezer a Talmud of Beis Shammai? And therefore, how could he, in our Mishnah, say that you don't have to be so specific, you could just stand next to your tool and say, yeah, around here, which sounds like Yesh Breira, while Beis Shammai says, Ein Breira. Doesn't he hold like Beis Shammai? Stira. So the answer is, Chomer hu b'davar sheish b'ruachayim. No, that case earlier by the birds is more Chomer. Why does he say Ein Breira there? Because animals are a very high level muksa. Right? A davar sheish b'ruachayim is a high level muksa, so you need more. You need it's a higher standard. Just saying is not going to be good enough. Right? You have to actually do an action of Nianua. So that's answer to one stira. So then we ask the stira for the Chachamim too. So again, this one has a couple of pshatim. What exactly is the question? Because what do the Chachamim say here? We read it. Chachamim say here, you have to do more than what Rebbe Eliezer said. Right? I say, Yershom v'yomar mikan vadkan. You have to go and say, I'm going to pick from here to there, right? You have to be more specific, which we said sounds like Ein Breira. But then what's going to be the question here? So we'll go with one of the pshatim. Why over here? We'll go with this following suggestion for the stira. Over here, the chachamim say that all you have to do is to designate a section. Mikan van kan. But you don't have to designate specific birds. Michlav hashidase drabanan. To tainin taman, what is over there? Beis Hillel said you have to be even more specific. Beis Hillel omer omed va'omer zevezani notel. You have to designate exactly which birds. So how here could Beis Hillel say that all you have to do, the Chachamim here say, you could just say Mikan Va'ad Kan. So it's still a different standard. Right over, you want to say maybe they both hold of Yesh Breira, but still there's different levels. Why over there in the earlier Mishnah do we say you have to be very specific, right? Specifically bird. And here you don't have to say specifically which fruit. So the Gemara answers, because even Beis Hillel has a higher standard when it comes to animals. Own inon islon chomer v'davashesh baruchayim. Didn't we just say that? So both shitas say that the bird case earlier in the Masechta is more chomer. The general machlokas might be yesh breira and ein breira, but even if you say that ein breira, there would still be different levels of what you would need to do when it comes to the birds. Okay, there's other pshatim to that second stira, but that is the way that we saw from the Charedim earlier, how he answers the stira. Hajala Parakha, maybe Kadayai. Good. So this sugya Breira, you know, is the Marshal, I think, calls it the largest sugya in Shas. I don't know about the largest, but it's Rechavim Midayam. He quotes the Pasuk in Iyov. The Marshal has pages and pages in Maseches Gittin on the sugya Breira. Breira is one of the sugyas and shas that have to do with future events, seeing the roots of that in the past. So three overlapping sugyas are Breira, Tanai, and Asmachta. Right? Those three always have to be looked at together. Tanai is, I do an action now, and I make a condition on it. And, you know, maybe that condition will be fulfilled or not, but that condition will affect what I'm doing now. You know, Hariyam Kudeshus Liyamanas, that Yevig Shamim Machar. I'm doing something now, but a future event of the rain will affect what I'm doing now, tonight. Asmachta. I commit to something now based on a future event. Right? I don't formulate it as a tonight, but asmachta, right? The gambling case, right? That's also something that happens now. I commit to something now based on something in the future that's going to happen. Asmachta and Breira, right? Those are three sugyas, have to be looked at all together. And again, there's a lot to say about it. There are many stiras in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, like we just saw. The Gemara asks, but the Gemara in a few places, in Gittin and in Nedarim and in Baba Kama, the Gemara always asks, why over here, all the Tanaim, all over seem to have stiras? Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. So you have to be mechalek between all the different cases. Right, and there are different cases that the Rishonim are mechalik between. If you want to look at one Rishon who has a couple of the shitas, look at the Ran. The first Ran in the fifth parak of Nedarim. The Ran on Mem He Amibes. So there's one of the contexts where the Rishonim asked the Stira. Because, you know, what do we hold? The Mishnah there, that's the first Mishnah in Hashutfin. Hashutfin is the fifth parak of Nedarim. And there the Mishnah says that what if two people own a chatzar together? But they're mudr hana from each other, right? They're own a chatzar together, but they don't really get along. So they each say, you can't get hana from me. Now they're stuck, right? So how can you use the yard? So the Tana Kama says, neither of them can go into the chatzar. Because if I go into the chatzar, then I'm getting hana from you. And if you go to the chatzar, you're getting hana from me. So tough, right? Until you make up and have some avas yisrael, right? So then it's, you can't use this chatzar, right? Ashutfish and nazemizeh. Asurin likanes lachatzer, right? You can't go into the chatzer. Nobody. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, no. Zenichnas l'toch shalo, v'zenichnas l'toch shalo. They could both go in. They could each go in. They could take turns. Why? Because each time they go in, then they could say, I'm using my portion of the chatzer. I'm not using your portion of the chatzer. I'm using my portion of the chatzer. So the Chazal assume that's based on, right, the beginning of that Gemara, Breira. Breira. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, yesh Breira. Meaning, when I use it, I could say that this was always my section of the, so to speak, my section of the chatzer. And when you use it, that's your section of the chatzer. So that is the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Ron there asks, Ika demakshu, kiva tupuklai Rav Elazar ben Rabbana b'yeshbir v'aimbrei rahu, toch yukma ravina b'varkshash doga sapara. The Gemara Baba Kama says that this machlokas is about breira. Heichi paskina b'gemar, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, desvir led yesh breira. So how could the Gemara say that we pass like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who says yesh breira, the kiddish go into the chatzer, v'ha peperek mashilin in beitza, right here, asikna, the chiles le the raboshia breira b'daraisa, avu b'darabanan, Islay, where the Gemara is machalik between Daraisa and Darabanan. V'ifsaka, hilchasa, kiraboshia. Alma b'daraisa, ein breira. V'kasha hilchasa, hilchasa. Right? The stira is the halacha, yesh breira. Is the halacha, ein breira. So to answer that, you just got to come up with chilukim. Many different types of chilukim. The Ran there quotes no less than four opinions of the Rishonim. Right? Tirz Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, really, ein breira. When the Gemara says, halachas like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov here, that you can go into the yards, that's not because of yesh breira. That's for a different reason. Halacha, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, alomi tamei, ka'amrinan, da'iyu asavar yesh breira, uvitur asa b'mudarana, v'yanan svirlan de'ein breira, avo vitur svirlan de'mutur b'madana. No, we paskin ein breira. Why do we hold like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that you can go into the chatzer? Because if I walk into your yard, are you really giving me something? Are you really giving me hana that I could step on your ground? That's giving me. That's called vitor, things that people are mevater on. Maybe that's mutter b'mudr hana. That's not a violation. Hana means I don't want to give you food. I don't want to give you something real beneficial. But just to walk. So maybe Rabbi Tov says really we basin ain't brera. But there the issue is one of vitor, and the re quotes a different daya, and then he quotes the Ramban, right? All different daya. So I'll read you one. So another answer. Delo dam yach brera dehachalo de alma. Different types of brera, right? One type of brera it's totally clarified. One type of brera it's only semi clarified. One type of brera is toli b'das acherim. One type of brera if toli b'das atzmo. Whether it's totally on you or it's totally on something out of your control. All different chilukim. One type of breira, it's for sure going to be clarified. One type of breira might not ever be clarified. So all of those are chilukim that the Rishonim make. And sometimes it's even Erevin. Erevin is also another big sugya breira. Right? That the Rishonim and the Chazal make to try to be mechalik between all of the cases. Because again, There's steerers all over, but again, that's just one makark, and there's a lot more, but we'll stop there for now. Okay, last parak of Maseches Beitza. Here in the Yerushalmi. Mashilin Peiros Derech Aruba, continuing what we have spoken about much in the last couple of Mishnayos, and that is what's called Zilzul of Yantiv, what's too much Tircha. Chazal want us to enjoy Yantiv, to not overexert ourselves. So what if I have fruit that is on the roof, or I have tvua on the roof and it's drying out, and I see the rain is coming. The rain's coming, I wanna bring my fruit inside. I don't want it to get soaked. So what am I allowed to do? So the Mishnah says, if I have a skylight, if I could just take the fruit and move it over and put it through the window on the roof, right, the skylight into the house, so that I'm allowed to do. I'm not picking it up. I don't know if it's not such a tircha. And then it's a tircha litzarech, right? That's I want to save the fruit. So mashilin peiros derech aruba v'yantiv umechathnas peiros bekelim. And also, if I have fruit, I'm allowed to cover them with to protect them. Also, that's also allowed. We don't say that's a tircha shelo litzarech. Mipnei hadlaf. That case is not on the roof. Let's say I have a drip in my house. I also want to cover them and protect them from the dripping. I'm allowed to do that. That's, as the Karbana Edir says, Bishop Hefsin Mamon, shall we lay Rabbanan? It's a little tircha, but I'm allowed to do it because I'm, protecting my fruit. V'chein kadeyayin, v'chein kadeshemen. Also, if I have bottles, barrels of wine and oil and they're open, I'm allowed to cover them to protect them from any water dripping in. And I'm also allowed to put a kli under a drip to catch the water. I'm allowed to do that. As long as, the Mefarshim explained, the Penei Moshe says, as long as it's usable water. Right? Because if it's not usable water, so then that gets to the sugya, which we'll talk about in the Gemara, of being mevatel kli mehechano. If it's muksa water, and I put a bowl under it, now I'm making the bowl muksa. We'll talk about what the svara, why is that a problem? But if I'm making something muksa, so to speak, on Shabbos, so that would not be allowed. That's why it has to be usable water, says the Pnei Moshe, right? Ubedzalaf ha-ra'uy. Only roi, and it comes up. Let's say somebody's air conditioner is dripping on Shabbos. So is that water muksa? Is that nolad? Because that was created right now from the air. The topic that the post could talk about. But lafa roi, di b'she'eno roi, ho mevata kli meichanu. And if it's not roi, I'm ruining this kli. Again, there are ways out of it. You put a pail under there and put something not muksa in the pail. So then the pail is a basel zadavar asa ulu davar amutter. Va'o dahavi graf shel rei. The Pnei Moshe also says if it's not usable water, you are creating a graf shel rei. Graf shel rei is the halachic term of something disgusting that you're allowed to move if it happened by itself, if it's a muksa. If I have a dirty diaper that a person has to move out, they're allowed to move that on Shabbos. Right? That's called graf shel rei, but that's not because you created it. Right? That's memela. But to create a graf shel rei, something that is not usable and movable on Shabbos, or yadav that is not allowed lechadchila. V'enos graf shel rei lechadchila. Okay. So the Mishnah says, all these cases, you're allowed to put it through the skylight, and you're allowed to put a cover on it, and you could put the kli under the tzlath. The Mishnah that says you're allowed to put it through the skylight, that's only if it's the same roof. It's like right there. You don't have to do so much tircha. It's the same roof where the fruit are on. But if it's a different roof, I have to schlep the fruit and then put it through the skylight, maybe that's too much tircha. But b'she'eino shaveh, it's only too much if it's not equal, if it's not flat, it's not the same level. Because then it's two problems, explains the Charedim. It's what we would call tartila reusa. I have to schlep it to another roof and the roofs are not even. Right, so both of those make it problematic. That's why I'm not allowed to do it. If you look in the Charedim, Dikatarti Torach Aliyah O Yerida VaOchu Rishus Acher. It's a different roof and I have to go up and down. The Avav Yishdeim Shalom. Even if the person owns both of them, it's the same owner. But still, this is an issue of tircha. So if you have to take it to a different roof and you have to go up or down, that's too much tircha. Aval, back to the Mishnah. Avalam Haya Shaveh Mutter. But if it was equal, if it was the same level, then even if a different roof would be okay. Because only tarti l'reyasa. If there's two negatives in your tircha, that would be the problem. Tani, hayasham chalon. What if there's no skylight, but there's a window? Let's say I have walls on my roof. So I'm going to put it like through the window, there's another room, you know, on the roof. So that you're allowed to do. Hayasham chalon, mashchilin, which also means to go down. Derech chalon, I'm allowed to put it in. Derech li chalon. Period. Similar to what we were just talking about in the Mishnah, that you're allowed to cover things on Shabbos. So you're even allowed, says Rav, you're allowed to cover things that are muksa. Shifuf shalavanim means a whole pile of bricks that are going to be used for construction. So they're what we call muksa. It's a serious muksa. Mukmas chesron kis. So Rav says, you're allowed to cover them. Right, Rav holds like what we hold. Right, there is a shita that we'll see soon in the Bavli. It's known as the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Ein kli nital el tzorach davar anital. Rabbi Yitzchak has a chiddush gadol. Not only is muksa asur to move, you're not allowed to move a non-muksa item for the sake of the muksa item. Let's say there's a muksa item that's going to get ruined. I'm not allowed to take a cover, a blanket, and put it over the muksa item according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Ein kli nital el tzorach davar anital. Rav is saying here explicitly against that. Rav is saying, no, you're allowed to. You're allowed to cover something muksa. Parson machzelas al gabi sheaf of shalavana b'shabbos. I'm allowed to spread a sheet over the pile of bricks on Shabbos. Reb Shimon b'Reb Yanai, Reb Shimon b'Reb Yanai, he's going to hold like Reb Yitzchak. You'll see. Ani, at least at the beginning. Ani lo shamati me'aba. Reb Shimon b'Reb Yanai says, I never heard this from my father, Reb Yanai. Achosi amrli, but my sister told me. My sister told me that this is what my father held. Mishmo, in his name. Beitza shenolda biyantif, if there's an egg that was laid on yantif, meaning muksa, somchal akli b'shosh lo tiskalgel, you're allowed to put something next to the egg so it doesn't roll anywhere, right next to that, aval ein kovan al akli. But you can't put a cover over it. Can't put a cover over it. Why not? So we'll go with one shot. Again, different shotim in the mefarshim. One shot is the sugi that we're just talking about. This Rabbi Yanai holds like the Rabbi Yitzchak of the Bavli. You're not allowed to move something with Sarach Davar Anita. I'm not allowed to put something over the egg to protect the egg. Next to the egg, it's not so nikar that it's for the egg. So even Rabbi Yitzchak might allow that. Even Rabbi Yanai allows that if I'm putting it right next to the egg. But in Kovan Alav Kli, but you can't put something over it because that's Litzorich the Davar Muksa. And therefore, Rabbi Yanai would say that that is a problem. There's what to talk about, but let's just finish the flow. Let's just finish the flow. Shmuel Amar Kovan Alav Kli. Shmuel argues. Shmuel holds like Rav, who says, no, you're allowed to. You're allowed to cover the egg. You're allowed to cover the egg because you're allowed to move something with Sarach Davar Anital. Amar Rabbi Mana, Ubilvad Shlo Yei Kli Nogia Beguva Shel Beitza. You're allowed to cover it as long as you don't touch the egg. As long as you don't touch the egg, right? That's the Shita of Rabbi Mana modifying Rav and Shmuel. Fine, you're allowed to cover the egg because you're allowed to move a non-muksa item. L'shem the muksa item, you have to make sure not to touch it. Not to touch it. Okay, this is what to talk about, but let's just do three more lines. Tani Rav Oshia. So Rav Oshia quotes a brisa that seems to support Rav and Shmuel, right? That you're allowed to move something with Tzorech HaDavar Muksa. Nechil Shol Dvarim, if there's a swarm of bees and I want to protect them, maybe they make honey for me. I'm allowed to put a sheet over them in the summer to protect them from the sun and in the winter to protect them from the rain. So Mak, Ravish Kishmuel. So, does this brisa support Rav and Shmuel? That's the push-up shot, right? How do we explain? Rav and Shmuel hold that you're allowed to move a non-muksa item to protect the muksa item, right? The bricks, right? So, or the egg. So, this brisa sounds like that too. You're allowed to cover the bees. So, isn't this like Rav and Shmuel? And it's against Rabbi Yanai. Doesn't this prove against Rabbi Yanai? Rabbi Yanai says you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yanai says you're not allowed to cover the egg. So isn't that a stira? So answer, kan milamalon, kan milamaton. Totally new understanding of what Rabbi Yanai. No, Rabbi Yanai never meant to say like I quoted from Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yanai never meant that. What Rabbi Yanai was talking about was you want to put something under the egg. Even though kofa doesn't usually mean that. Kofa Allah means you want to put something under the egg. That's what the problem. To cover the egg, even Rabbi Yanai says that's okay. And therefore the brisa would be okay with the brisa. The case that, the problem that he's talking about is you want to put something under the egg, that's going to be the problem, that's milamatan. Right? Why? Because that's going to be the lashon that I said before, what the Bavli calls mevatel kli mehechano. Right? If you have something that is underneath the dvar muksa, so that's going to make the bottom thing muksa. It's going to become a basis and you're ruining its usage. Mevatel kli mehechano, and that's why it is a problem. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. There's what to talk about. So this Yerushalmi is quoted by the Poskim. This Yerushalmi, right here in the fifth parak. What is the issue? So we've mentioned that the issue about covering the egg is you're allowed to do it because you're allowed to move a non-muksa item, l'shem a muksa item. But Rabbi Mana says, but you can't touch the egg. Why can't you touch the egg? Why can't you touch the egg? So if you look in the Trumas Hadeshen, I mentioned this, I think, a couple of days ago. But the Trumas Hadeshen, it's Simon Samach Zayin. It's Simon Samach Zayin. So he discusses the issue of touching Muksa. Touching Muksa. Because we know the Rama quotes. The Rama quotes at the beginning of Hilchas Muksa. The beginning of Shin Chesiv Gimel. Shin Chesiv Gimel, there is no Isser of touching Muksa. There is not only an Isser of moving Muksa. Says the Rama. Call muksa she'eno aser ela bitzel tulo avo benegia ba'alma she'eda benadnedo shari, right? Muksa that does not move mutter v'lachein mutter liga b'menorah she'beis haknesses she'ner is dolkos alav. I'm allowed to touch a big candle thing that I'm not moving. It's a big metal thing that's holding the candles. O betaner she'doleg mutter likach tvar heter amunach al tvar muksa. If there's something mutter on a tvar muksa, I'm allowed to move it. Umutter l'taltel tvar muksa all the. That's clear in the Shulchan Aruch that it's only usher to move and not to touch. Look at the Mishnah Berurah here. He quotes from the Magen Avram. Quotes from the Magen Avram later on in Siman Shin Yud, who says, no, maybe if you're touching the Dvar Muksa for the Dvar Muksa, so then it's usher even to touch it, even if you don't move it. Right. Let's say I am touching, I don't know, there's a big muksa, a dvar muksa, a big rock. So what if I lean on the rock in order to tie my shoe? Is that allowed? Yes. Rock's not moving. even, and I'm leaning on it for me. For me, I want it to tie my shoe. But what if I'm gonna, touch a Dvar Muksa for the Dvar Muksa for some reason? The Magen Avraham is machmer and says, that's usur even to touch. And where do you know that from? Arbi Yushalmi, the egg. The egg. That's why you're not, the Rabbi Mana says here, you're not allowed to, you're, what are you doing? You're covering the egg to protect the egg. So that's, you're not allowed to even touch it, says the Magen Avraham. Because that's touching the Dvar Muksa for the Dvar Muksa. But the, Magen Mishnah and the Gra and others and the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, no. The reason that Ar Yerushalmi says that you can't touch the egg is not because when you touch a Dvar Muksa for the Dvar Muksa, it's not allowed. It's because when you touch an egg, the egg's gonna move. That's why. It's not because Ar Yerushalmi just says, you, when you cover the egg, you can't touch the egg. Machlokas Achronim. Why is that? So the Magen Avraham and others say, because when you're touching the Dvar Muksa for the Dvar Muksa, that's usur. But the others say, the Radvaz says, I read you the Radvaz. The Radvaz says, no. The Radvaz says you're not allowed to do that because the shape of the egg obviously is going to make it move, right? It's roundish. Here it is. Vani Yomer Yafa Dikta Yerushalmi Varai Vitzal. Lefisha Kol Tavar Agul Bishasha Adam Nogeya Bo. Anything round, the second that you touch, Bal Karcha Hu Misno Ea Tenua Kol Tehu. You don't have to take a high level of a physics course to understand what the Radvaz says 500 years ago. Lefisha Davar Haagul Nikuda Hi Moshavo Ubinigia Kala Hu Nod Kol Tehu Vabetsa Mugul Galasi Ava Bishena Agula Bikikadur. It's an oval. It's not like a perfect circle, but still, it's going to move. The kolshkenem yiga baba chozek shadaver nira la'ayin shehu misno aas. Right, and that's the Truma Tadeshan that I alluded to before. Also says the same idea. And he likes the Magen Avraham is based on the Truma Tadeshan. Right, he quotes this day of the Radvaz. Again, he's before the Radvaz a little bit, but he quotes. He says, "The Yerushalmi, quote the Yerushalmi, the Zarchi Yizar Shelo Yigak Kli BeBeitza, V'Dochek Lomar Tekiven the Beitza Davar Mizgalgel Hu Im Haya Hakli Nogeya Ba Efsher Haya Shelo Yizenim Imkoma." I don't think that's true. Doesn't say why. I don't know. The Radvaz says it's physics, right? Of course it's true, but the Truma Tzedeshen is Machaliki, and that's what is the basis for that Magen Avraham about touching Litzoref Davar Hamuksa. Okay, that's the one issue from before. The other last issue to mention here on what we just did was Milamatan, where we said the problem is putting the bowl underneath the Dvar Muksa. We mentioned this in the Mishnah 2. The Pnei Moshe says the water has to be roy. Because if I put a bowl under a Dvar Muksa, that's Mevatel Kli Mehechano. That is ruining the Kli. So what is that? So it's a Machlokas Rashi and Rashi. Machlokas Rashi and Rashi. Right, 2 days of Rashi and Masechta Shabbos. What is the reason that I'm not allowed to put a bowl underneath the Dvar Muksa? So Rashi on Kuf Chav Ches says, because you're basically destroying the Kli. Soser. If I put it under, I'm making it useless. I'm making it useless for me for the rest of Shabbos. Rashi says, the Melacha of Soser. Rashi on Daf Mem Bei says, Bone. Right? It's as if you're cementing this bowl to the floor, because you're not going to be able to use it anymore. You're not going to be able to move it. So it's like Bone. Tosfos points out in Shabbos, Tosfos on Daf Mem Gimel points out the Stira and Rashi, or just Rashi says both. Says Top Tosfos Mem Gimel and Aleph. The Perek Basra Pirish Bekunjus Dazer Mishum De Mechzik Esoser. The Kan Pirish Tachashev Kilu Mechabro Sham Betit. As if you're cementing it in, and it's like Bone, right? Machlokas. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua here, Daf Mem Gimel, the Pnei Yeshua discusses why Rashi would say Bone and Soser. Why would you he shade the two different types of Mevata Kli Mechano, but that's an important Pnei Yeshua. You can look here on Daf Mem Gimel. Okay, but we'll continue. Says the Gemara. Rabbisna B'Shem Reb Yossi Ben Chanina Chafei L'Sotos. What are Chafei L'Sotos? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky here says it's big garments, some type of covers that they used to cover merchandise on boats. Merchandise on boats, yurios, curtains, right? Big things that they used to cover merchandise on boats. Also l'taltalam. So those themselves, you're not allowed to be metaltel. Right? Why? Because they're used for a specific purpose. Mitzadata Havian Parisin. One time we had a bunch of traps that were spread out to trap Vavim Mishtarfin Vigoshimsha, but the sun was beating down on them. And I wanted to cover these traps. Us and Shalom the Rav, Mao Metal Tutun. They came to ask Rav, are we allowed to move these traps? Right, these traps are going to get ruined. If they're in the sun, they're getting burned in the sun. Amar Lon, he says, Azoligamon, you can't touch, the language is couldn't touch them. It means you can't move them. That's what it means here. You can't move them. So, but Rav says, I'll give you what kind of muksa are these traps? Pashas, they are klishamachdal iser. Klishamachdal iser, meaning they're used for advar iser, which is trapping. So Rav says, well, don't you know that halacha? You're allowed to move a klishamachdal iser, l'tzorach gufa, l'tzorach makomo. So what does he tell them? Chashvan aleon misganin tochsi rosh eichen. So you know what? Get the traps and think of it and use it for a pillow. Like, lie down on it. Vishari lachon metal tilatun, and then you'll be able to move it, right? That's the sugya of klishamal del iser, and one is allowed to quote unquote be ma'arim, right? A klishamal del iser, I'm allowed to move, let's talk guv, let's talk makomo. What if I have a pen on my Shabbos table? Somehow crayons or a pen got left on the Shabbos table. I don't want them on my Shabbos table. So you know what you could do? Take them off and put a plate there, right? I don't need the plate there. Yeah, make a plate there. It's okay. You could do that. That's mutter, that's considered, an allowed behavior because you could make it into a tzarach makomo or a tzarach gufo, use it for something that you normally wouldn't use it for. That would still be allowed. And that's what Rav told him to do here with the traps. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll continue with the last parak here, Maseches Beitzah.